And I just want to tell you today, God's got a word for you today. God's got a word for you today, and it's specifically for you. It's specifically for you, you and you. So hear what thus saith the Lord as he is prepared for you today. Amen. The book of Psalms, verse 7, the 77th number of Psalms, and drop down to verse 10, and we will read verses 10 through 15. When you have it, just say amen. Just say amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it word, and it reads, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Hallelujah. We read the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation. And he said, start off by saying, this is my fate. This is what I'm doomed to go through. This is where I am. But we just have a word that the Lord says today. He wants you to understand. He wants you to understand victory, that you have victory. You have victory in the midst of trouble.
My God.
You have victory. You have victory in the midst of trouble. Oh, somebody just need to say that. I have victory in the midst of trouble. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody listening in or who will hear this that you don't have no trouble right now. Maybe you just don't have any trouble. Maybe there's nobody who dislikes you. Maybe there's nobody trying to get next to you. Maybe there's nobody trying to take your job. Maybe you just in your own little place and you don't have to go out and there's nothing. But I come to tell you, there's trouble all around us.
Yes, sir.
You might not see it. And if you see Christ and Christ only, I'm happy and thankful. But in case you're not that person or in that place, there's trouble all around us. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because we live in a sin-sick world. So where there is sin, there is trouble.
Amen.
But the glory today is that we have victory. We have victory.
Hallelujah.
In the midst of trouble.
Thank you.
And oftentimes when we look at the book of Psalms, they are different categories, and we find that in the book of Psalms, there are so many different things that we experience. And today we're not looking at a psalm of David, we're looking at a song of Asaph. And Asaph was one of the ones who was responsible for singing the praises of God. He was of the Levite clan, and being of the Levite clan, he was responsible for singing the praises of God. He was responsible, if I could put it this way, he led the choirs of David. He was responsible for leading some of the choirs of Solomon. He was responsible for ushering us into a place of praise. Y'all understand what praise teams are for, right? They're not to take us away, but they're to usher us into a spirit of praise, into the glorified God, to give praises to God, to set the atmosphere. The word is going to do with the word, but they're responsible for bringing people into oneness to focus on God. So I thank the praise team and praise singers all over that when you're doing what you're supposed to do, all we come to do is think about God.
Amen.
Asaph was one of those praise leaders. But here we find that when Asaph wrote this particular psalm, that he wasn't in that place. Oh, yes, that's right. Some of the praise leaders are not always in a place of praise. We need to understand that. And we find here in this particular number of Psalms, this 70, that Asaph was not in a place of praise. In the beginning of this Psalms, in the beginning of this Psalms, he was afraid of what was going on. And he started by saying, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear. He said, oh, he heard me. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He said, there would just seem to be no relief, y'all. He said, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. He said, look, I tried and it still didn't work. Y'all know what that feels like. Sometimes you go to God and it seems like nothing happens. You go the first time and seem like, hey, I'm still upset. I still got a hook in my craw. He said, but they said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. He said, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song of the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Well, the Lord kept, even after he tried the first time, he came back to this place. In verse 7, he said, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Verse 8 said, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Now, I don't know who's listening, but somebody's in that place right now.
My God.
You think that God done forgot about you. I know God knows me, and I know I'm his child, and I love God, but God must not be hearing me right now because I'm going through so much, and there just seems to be no relief. Say, something must be wrong. The line must be busy, and because the line is busy, I'm not getting the prayer through. Maybe I need to tell somebody else because he don't hear me, and so I'll call. But I come to tell you today, that's not based on the truth. What you're feeling is not based on the truth. Because God does hear you. God always hears you. He is never far from you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave
you.
And I'm going to prove it in his word. God proves it in his word. So maybe the first time you just don't seem to get ready. Maybe there's a little static. Maybe there's something in the way that's keeping you from getting it all the way through. But I come to tell you, there's still victory in the midst of trouble.
Say I'm preaching.
So because of this first part of this Psalms, we find that Asaph was in a spirit of lament. Well, what is lament? Well, lament is an attitude. It's a place, and it says what? A passionate expression of grief or sorrow. Somebody's grieving. It says to regret strongly that something has happened or you've done it. You know, you regret that you're in that place. And crying out in grief. We most know lament when somebody dies. There's a lament in our society today. So many people are dying. So many people are sick. So many people are out of work. So many people don't have hope. So many people are lost. So many people are refusing to follow Christ. So many people are refusing to tell me. We're in a spirit of lament in our society and in our communities, and it's all around us.
My God.
If you turn on your TV, all you hear is lament. If you watch sports, you still hear lament. If you watch hockey or basketball or cooking shows, you hear lament. It's all around us. But I'll tell you, that's not the victory. Lament does not have control over you. You need to say to yourself, lament does not have control over me.
All right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, okay, what are some synonyms? Some synonyms. Well, you might be groaning, you might be howling, you might be keen or lamentation or moan or wailing. You know, there could be any degree of it, but you might be in that place. As we see here, Asaph, the praise leader, was in that place. My Bible tells me that oftentimes the prophets were in that place. Go ask Elijah. He ran away after defeating the prophets of Baal. He was in that place. There are others that were in that place, but that place of lament, we need to know today, and you're going to see unfold here, that victory in the midst of trouble. So we're not going to be very long, but understand, the first victory, the first step to victory is you got to remember what God did before. Now, it might not be the first time you try to remember. Asaph tried to remember early in the psalm, verses 3-4. He tried to remember. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. He said, it was so bad I couldn't get through. But you know what they say? If at first you don't succeed, what? Try again. So he had to come back to God. And look at what happened when he came back to God in verses 10 through 12. He said, what? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of that. He said, I will remember. My God. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I don't care what you're going through. If you know Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus, you know somebody who does, but you need to look at what did God do for you before. I will remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember when I was sick, God healed me. I remember when I didn't have a job the last time, God gave me another job. I will remember that even though I didn't have a job, I'm still living in the same house Jesus, I used to live in. I will remember that even when nobody seemed to like me and nobody seemed to care, I was still that God sent me somebody who shared with me and I still have friends. I will remember that he brought my ancestors over the Red Sea. I will remember that when they had no food to eat, he rained food down from heaven. I come to, I will remember how to plant a garden. Why? Because more people are planting gardens today than ever before. Because God said, go back to your roots. And guess what? I will show you how to feed yourself off a few seeds. Oh, look out, somebody. You got more today than you have. I will remember how I taught you how to be frugal with your money. I will remember.
Yes.
That I raised up my child to know which way to go. I will remember that we used to be a lot worse than it is today. I will remember. I used to have a half a piece of chicken to eat. Now I got 2 pieces. I will remember.
My God.
That the word says in Isaiah 40 and 31 said that they that wait upon the Lord, what? Shall renew their strength. They shall run like wings of an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. I will remember. But the Lord says in Psalms 89, he said, look in verse 11, said, I will remember the heavens are thine. The earth is also thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hebron shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy. I will remember, God. Nobody can fight against you. I will remember. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy coming. Yes. They know the joyful sound of singing praise to God. I will remember how to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I will remember. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will remember. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will remember that God went, that Jesus went to Calvary. I will remember that he didn't complain. I will remember that he died. I will remember that he got up. I will remember. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come to you and receive. I will remember that this is not the end. I will remember.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That you did it again, Lord God. I will remember that right now, Lord God. I thank you for a little bit of peace. Right now, Lord God, I thank you. Somebody reached out to me. Right now, Lord God, I thank you. Somebody's praying for me. Right now, Lord God.
Yes, God. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you. I don't have corona. Right now, Lord God. Oh, yes, I got corona, but guess what, Lord? You're healing me right now, Lord God.
My God.
You did it before, and you'll do it again.
Hallelujah.
Right now, Lord God. Right now, Lord God. But then there's something that we got to understand. There's something we got to understand. I love the power and the awesomeness of God's word, but God also heeds a warning to us. He gives us a warning. He gives us a warning of what not to do so that we can have victory in the midst of it. He said, I'm warning you to stay focused. Stay focused. Right. Don't get distracted.
My God.
Don't let somebody turn you away. They used to say, ain't going to let nobody turn me around. Turn me around. Ain't going to let nobody turn me around. Why? Because I'm marching forward to Calvary. I'm marching forward to my victory. I'm marching forward to my relief. I'm marching forward to my peace. I'm marching Jesus. Forward to my joy. And you can't turn me around.
My God.
Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8, says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, they should what? Make them known to their children. There's a way he said, he established that you would make it known to your children. Why? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. If I stop right there and we look around and why there's so much stuff, somebody stop making the law known to their children.
My God, my God.
When young men and young women can go out and shoot people and don't care and fire on funerals and do all that, somebody didn't make it known to their children.
Yes.
Maybe they didn't know. Somebody didn't make it known, but somewhere it was not made known. When you doubt and you're frantic and you'll do anything and you don't understand and trust, somebody didn't get made known. He said what? Verse 7. Verse 7 said, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. See, there was a reason. There was a reason.
Yes.
You had to teach them so their hope was in God. We know from Sunday school that hope is in Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
See, we talk about hopelessness. The only reason there's hopelessness because you didn't teach them about Jesus. When you know about Jesus, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. My hope is all hope. He said, we didn't teach them. He said, you need to teach them.
My God.
So that they won't forget. But what? They will keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation.
Yeah.
Some of us know, some of our relatives, some of our friends, some of our fathers, or yada, yada, whoever they, whatever role, they're a rebellious generation.
Mm.
They just refuse to accept Christ. And because of that, that created a problem. So a generation that set not their heart aright. They did not set their heart on Christ. Did not set their heart on God. Will not set their heart on loving thy neighbor. Will not set their heart on a greater commandment. Will not set their heart on do the right thing. So we see today the byproduct of year after year after year after year, somebody not teaching their children to love God.
My God.
And it ends up in verse 8. He says, what? And whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
Mercy, Lord Jesus.
Not steadfast. Not steadfast. Not steadfast. Not anchored in focus. Not steadfast. Divided. Not steadfast. God wasn't the first and foremost, not steadfast. God, yeah, I know who you are, but I set you on the shelf, not steadfast. Yeah, God, when I go to worship on Sunday, I'm all about you, but only until my phone ring or only until my mind gets thinking about something else. Oh, God, it's not steadfast. I'm not steadfast at what? I'm not making you first. You about 20th down the list. Okay, God, I ain't that bad. Maybe you're third or fourth. Okay, God, not that bad. You're second, God. I'm first and you second. Okay, God, I don't want to be black. So God, me and you are equal.
Mercy, Lord. Mercy.
In order to be steadfast with God, God's got to be first.
Amen.
There ain't no equals. There ain't no partnerships. There ain't no second, third, or fourth. He's got to be first.
My God. My God.
So there's a warning to stay focused. And if you go to the book of Mark in chapter 11, you'll see what he says there in Mark 11 and drop down to verse 20. And he says what? And in the morning, as they passed by, Jesus was going to teach them a parable. He said, they passed by a fig tree. And so it dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance. Peter remembered, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said to him, have faith in God. For verily I say to you, and this is Jesus talking, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Then there's a qualifier. He said, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And what he's saying is, you can't ask for all these wonderful things and have all this power, and you ain't forgiving nobody for what they've done. They go together. You must forgive. So one of the reasons that we don't have the power or walk in all the power is we're walking around in unforgiveness.
My God.
Today, there is so much unforgiveness. You know why? Because most people today don't even understand it. They're passing judgment. We're just going about our business. We're doing the things we need to do. We're talking about this person and that person and everybody else because they're not doing right by me or anybody else. And that's what we're doing. And because that's what the media says. We got to stay focused. He says that when you pray. So I just got to drop that. I fought God. I said, God, I really don't want to ask this question. Lord, why do we have to ask the question? Lord, can't you just make it known? He said, no, speak what I told you to speak. How much time do you spend praying about the things that are going on versus the amount of time you spend talking about it?
Okay.
And truly praying for forgiveness for those who are walking contrary to God. Mm-hmm. Not that they've done it against you, but against God.
Amen.
He said, I need my people to pray. When they pray and they pray for the way I teach them to pray, watch the power and the anointing I give them so that guess what? They can walk up to folks and they can look at folks and they can say hi and folks know that their life has been blessed. They can say, they'll think about you for days to come. That person spoke to me and didn't even know me. But there was something about the spirit that was around them that changed how I thought the rest of the day. That changed that I wanted to talk. Sometimes you need to pray, oh, Lord, show you. I need to pray that that person turn off the TV. I walked by a man the other day, and I didn't understand what was going on until God was done. Didn't know the man, never seen the man. When I walked by him, I said to God, said to him, speak. I speak, that's what I do, I keep going. He said, now you pray for him, and when he gets home, he will walk in the house in peace. And I said, well, Lord, what about, he said, just pray for peace in his house when he walks in. Evidently, there was no peace in his house. I have no idea, I've never been to his house. But I had a choice, pray for him, or deny what God said. And if I didn't, then I'm not going to have peace. But I was confirmed because when I walked into my house, there was a spirit of peace that was beyond just what's normal. I walked in and I was like, I just felt peace. And I said, that man must have walked into peace.
My God, my God.
So warnings that we have to stay focused on what God wants us to stay for. Remember what God did. That's how we have victory in the midst of trouble.
Yes.
And then the last thing we just need to just declare, somebody said, the Lord cannot be defeated. How many of you know the Lord can't be defeated? I hear a few of them. Somebody ought to be dancing already. Somebody ought to be shouting. Never be. Amen. Somebody needs to know the Lord cannot be defeated. And because the Lord is yours and you belong to him, you can't be defeated. That's how David wrote Psalm 23. Lord. That's how you can write the very song. That's how you can declare from the mountain. That's how Abraham was able to go to the mountain with Isaac as his sacrifice and not worry about anything. That's how we understand what God is doing. That's how Paul could go into places and not worry about different things. Come on. He knew that he could not be defeated.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Look at John. Look at John. Look at John 12. Look at the 12th chapter of John, verse 32. 12th chapter of John, verse 32. Look at what he says. Look at what he said. He said, look, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't say my father's got to do it. He didn't say whatever. He said, if I be lifted up from there, I will draw all men unto me. Now look at this. Look at this. There's something in this verse we need to understand because we miss it. He said, if I be lifted up, not only will he just be glorified, if he be magnified, if he be talked about, but he had to literally be lifted up.
Yes.
The world saw him being lifted up to die. He was lifted up to draw all men to him. Thank that he Lord. Would be glorified by the Father above anything else. He was the only one who was going to die. He was the only one who gave his life. He was the only one who took his life back. He was the only one ascended to the Father. He was the only one that the spotlight was going to be on. He was the only one who let the light shine. He was the only one that was going to fulfill what he told them in chapter 14. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. But if we lift him up.
My God.
Man.
Jesus.
So the question today, when you have conversations, when you're talking with people and you're writing things on Facebook and all the rest of the communication tools, whether it's TikTok or any of the rest of all these kind of things, it's so many out there. Are we lifting up Christ?
Jesus.
Are we giving glory to our pity party? If we're giving glory to our pity party, we're not having victory. We have a moment here and a moment there. But if we lift up Christ, we're walking purely in victory.
Jesus.
You don't believe me? We studied Sunday school. Go to chapter 14. It's in the message today. It was in the scripture earlier, verses 12 through 16. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto the Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that's in the name of Jesus, not in the name of God, but in the name of Jesus, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye should ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. For he said, I know I'm going away. I know I'm being lifted up, but I'm sending you a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit that will dwell with you. Hey, no, you ain't got to call him up on the phone. You ain't got to go over to his house. You ain't got to stop by the temple and only fill him in the temple. I'm going to indwell him in your heart so that he always resides with you. So guess what? He already knows what you're thinking even before you say it. So when you have a need, he already knows. And guess what? He gives you the power.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The Lord cannot be defeated. We need to stop walking around and acting like, only if God thinks so. No, it ain't only think. He has already said so.
My God.
Victory in the midst. We have victory. I don't care how many churches are arguing back and forth. I ain't worried about the church. I ain't worried about the name. I'm talking about Jesus. So guess what? If you don't like me, my prayer is that the Lord will forgive you because I love you. And that's what I'm going to leave it at that. Because guess what? I cannot hate you. I cannot argue with you. I cannot fuss and fight with you. Because if I'm doing that, I'm not lifting up the name of Jesus. I got to show the name of Jesus and his love and his power so that he will be glorified. And guess what? He will draw all men.
Yes. Yes.
Let me give you an illustration. Come on, computer, don't freeze on me now. I know some of you can't see the screen, but some of you can. There are two illustrations I want to show you. One is the balance of weights. And when you look at the balance of weights, when one thing is heavier, the other gets lifted up. When we look at our struggles, they weigh us down. And so as the struggles weigh us down, who gets lifted up? It lifts up Jesus. Because Jesus is the opposite of our struggles. When we grew up, we used to play teeter-totter. Any of y'all used to be on the seesaw and teeter-totters? Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was the goal? We didn't get it. The goal was to try to be the one on the ground, right? So you didn't have to lift the other one up. And that's what we tried to do. We tried to sit a certain way and get more people so that we were on the ground and wouldn't be lifted up. But that's not how it works with Jesus. Jesus said, you can stay on the ground all day long, but as you're down on the ground trying to prove who you are, I'm being lifted up. And so guess what? I want to lift Jesus up. Yes, Lord, keep me down here on the ground, because as I lift you up, then I know because you love me and because you claim me and because you save me, everything's going to be all right. The illustration says, well, I don't know if it's the greatest, but it's definitely one of the greatest seesaw battles. It is the greatest. You know why? Because Jesus is being lifted up. In weakness, Jesus is being lifted up. In the battle, Jesus. So we need to stop with the seesaw. Just let Jesus be. Another thing is, we need to stop trying to hold our ground. My feet are planted in Jesus.
Mm.
So God, lift me up. Show the world it's all right. Because I will tell you, I remember how I had nothing. I remember when the doctor said I was going to die. I wasn't going to live a normal life. I remember how everybody said, you from Detroit. You'll never. I remember how when I was walking all by myself, Jesus changed my life. I remember when I was in one situation, he took me out of the situation. I remember how when I had nothing, he gave me other. I remember how I spoke in his word and how lives have been changed. I remember how as I surrendered more and more to him, he does more and more things. I remember how even when I don't have this, that, and the other, that I think I ought to have, God said, you got more than enough.
Amen. My God. My God.
And in every step of the way, God provides.
Yes.
Wish I could tell you all, but I can't. So then we have to understand in John, the 15th chapter of John in verses 3-5, he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Why? Because he's the vine, he's the true vine. And we're ye are clean through the word which is there. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Warning number one. If you're not connected to the true vine, you can't bear fruit.
Amen.
You can try and imitate all that you want to. You can try and do this and do that and give your money away and always be there to show up and always be singing in the choir or sitting on the pew. You can show up. But if you ain't connected to Jesus, which is a true vine, you cannot bear fruit, because all you're going to do is talk about of itself. It's about you and not about Christ. Except in what? Abide in the vine. And the vine is Jesus. Nor can ye accept ye what? Abide in me. He said, you got to abide in me. If we want to make change, if we want to affect change, we've got to do it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Somebody somewhere needs to hear that. They think they're the vine.
My God.
I'm Jesus anointed. Everything sets on me. No, it don't. It sets on Jesus. We point to Jesus. I don't point to Freddie Lee Rogers III, the junior. You will die if you point to me. I point to Jesus. Jesus said himself, you can't get to the Father unless you come through me. That's why it's not God is God, and that's okay. It's got to come through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm divine, you to bring. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I broke off a branch the other day that was starting to wither away. It wasn't bearing no fruit. So I needed to take it off. And all of a sudden, the other branches start bearing more fruit. I'm like, look at God.
My Lord.
That's what he wants. We need to abide in him. And when we abide in him, watch what he will do.
Yes.
Dr. Stanley put it this way. Dr. Charles Stanley says, when hardship stalks us and we feel at our lowest point, it can bring great comfort to dwell in the fact that God never changes.
My God.
That he will always act on behalf of those who wait for him.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Man.
That's speaking to somebody today. We're going through hardships. And where some of us feel we're at our lowest point, you might feel. But you don't have to worry about the low point and what's going to happen. You need to understand that God never changes. So what? Go back and remember what God did before. Go back and remember how he brought you through. Go back and remember how he brought mama and daddy through. Go back and remember how he brought our ancestors. Go back and remember how we're no longer slaves. Go back and remember how we're no longer slave owners. Go back and remember how I crossed the sea to live in a different country. Go back and remember how God has been the same, whether it was in England or in the United States or in Japan or in China or in any part. God is still God and Jesus is still Jesus. How is it that we got Christian churches in every country in the world when they said no?
My God.
Because Jesus is being lifted up.
Amen.
My God. My God.
He said, I will draw all men unto you. And I've been showing you this for the last 4 weeks now. In what it says by Osgood Chambers, said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We all have faith in good principles, in good management, in good common sense. But who among us has faith in Jesus Christ? Physical courage is grand, moral courage is grander, but the man who trusts Jesus Christ in the face of the terrific problems of life is worth a whole crowd of heroes. Mm. So if Christ finds you being faithful to him, will he find you being surrendered to him? Will he find you speaking and teaching and praying in the name of Jesus Christ?